Speak very close to the microphone, so that's what I'm going to do. This is a story called Alphabet, and it's one of a series of short stories that I've written about a young man called Tom. Tom has certain peculiarities, which I hope will be made clear as the story goes on. So, Alphabet. School had always been a mystery to Tom. His mother had explained to him that he must go, so he went. Sometimes big brother Bernie had been there, and sometimes he hadn't. But Bernie had left a year ago, so Tom suffered the school to shuttle him around from classroom to classroom, funnel him down noisy corridors, and talk at him endlessly, and try to cope on his own. Mostly it just gave him headaches. Always it was perplexing. He wore his iPod whenever he could, but in lessons they wouldn't let him, so he developed a white noise in his head to screen out the babel of tongues. The other kids generally left him alone, for which he was grateful. The only thing he liked was drawing. He liked the swishing sound the charcoal made when he played it across the paper, and he liked the way it could make thick lines or thin lines, depending on how hard he pressed. He drew square things, boxy cars that would never run, houses where no one could live, and countryside with square clouds and a big square sun. He drew cows with blocky heads and a leg at each corner. He liked the art teacher, who didn't talk much, but just came over and looked with his head on one side and nodded slowly. When he handed work in, it came back with a big green tick in the bottom right-hand corner. The big green tick made him happy. But this year was different. This year they had to pass exams. The task had been to draw an interesting corner of your bedroom. Tom went home and looked at his bedroom. The walls were white, and there was one picture in the middle of each wall. Exactly in the middle. He had measured it. He frowned at the corners. There was nothing interesting about any of them, just places where two white walls met and then diverged. He measured the angles, but they were all the same. Tom's scalp began to itch, and he drummed earnestly on his desk while he thought. Eventually, he retrieved the piece of smooth white paper and carefully drew a straight line down the middle. Then he shaded it a little either side to show that the walls were coming away from it. He still didn't think it was very interesting, but it was done. You will rejoice to hear that no disaster has accompanied the commencement of an enterprise which you have regarded with such evil forebodings, he murmured to himself, pleased, and wrote his name at the top of the paper. However, when he received the drawing marked back again, there was a large red F where the green tick should have been. He showed it to Bernie. Bernie slung an arm round his shoulder, tickled his ear, and said it stood for fucking fantastic. But Tom thought that would be two F's, not one, so he took it to his mother. When his mother looked at it, he saw her eyes go black like the sky when a storm is coming. Tom, look at me, she said. Tom tried, but he wasn't sure what was going on and he had to keep looking away. He was afraid there might be thunder, and he would have to lock himself in his room until it was over. He gripped his drawing with its red F tightly, not knowing what to do with it now. When you go to school tomorrow, said his mother, I'm going with you. Mum, said Tom urgently, someone must have slandered Joseph K, for one morning, without having done anything truly wrong, he was arrested. Oh, Tom, don't worry. You're not in any trouble, I promise. I'm going to speak to your teachers, that's all, and we'll sort all this out. Okay. Tom slunk upstairs into his room and sat on his bed. He wondered what to do and searched his mind for a clue. "It is a truth universally acknowledged," he muttered to himself. He could hear his mother shouting on the phone, and he wished she would stop. "It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of..." His mother's voice was rising faster and harder, and soon it would press all the air out of the house. Tom got under his desk, fitted his snorkel into his mouth, and practiced breathing very small and slow. He could hear his heart going whang, whang in his ears. "I am an invisible man," he whispered. The next day, Tom didn't feel like breakfast. He looked in the fridge, but all the yogurt pots were too bright and the cereal smelt of sugar. He was just making sure all the spice jars were lined up in alphabetical order on the shelf when his mother came into the kitchen wearing her best coat. "Get your jacket, Tom. I've got an appointment with the head before school today. You can get in the car today, can't you, Tom?" Tom wasn't sure. The car was very small. He searched his brain for something to help. All that came was something about a last car crash, and his mind skittered away from it, as it made things worse rather than helping. He decided on the path of least resistance and followed his mother out of the house and into the little green car. But before he did, he picked up the jar of allspice and put it in his pocket. He needed an A today. He thought it might be lucky. The little green car pulled up in front of the looming school building and stopped. His mother fussed with all the things she seemed to have to carry with her, then stepped out of the car. Tom didn't want to move, but she opened the door and held out her hand. Reluctantly, he scrambled out. "Tom, look at me." Tom got as far as the top button on her jacket, and then his mind snagged on the way that the shiny disc rose and fell, rose and fell. His mother was breathing faster than normal. He didn't want to look at her face. "I'm going in to see the teacher now. I want you to go to the library and wait for me." Tom nodded. "Okay." The library was the only place in the school he felt truly safe, and where he often went to cool off when his brain began to seethe. He liked the way the books stood, each in its row. He liked the way they never changed inside, so that each time he opened them, he saw the same words in the same order. They said what they said forever. And if he stood at one end of the room and looked at the other, he knew they always began with A's and ended with Z's. Austin, he thought. Zola. And an immutable stream of fixed points in between. Tom felt his brain begin to loosen its knots, and his feet began to tap. He did a hesitant little jig. Today he would start with M. "Ma, a mouse has to do what a mouse has to do," he said, and danced up the stairs to the school door. The librarian looked up as he pushed open the high glass doors of the library. When she saw Tom, she smiled. Tom liked her smile because it curved upward and made her cheeks round, but didn't bare her teeth. He looked around. There were few people there at this hour, and he ran his hands softly along the shelves, feeling the solid wood under his palms. G, L, M. Morm, Maupassant, Milne, Morrison. He picked one at random and opened it. "Here is Edward Bear coming downstairs now, bump, 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 on the back of his head, behind Christopher Robin." "Bump, bump, bump," he said to himself. "Downstairs. Bear." Carefully, he put it back and picked up another. 1, 2, 4 was spiteful. Tom Tom lost himself in the Ems until he heard the big glass door swish open and saw his mother come in. She took a seat at one of the tables and patted the one next to her. Obediently, Tom came and sat. "I have never begun a novel with more misgiving," he told her, twisting the allspice jar in his pocket. She smiled at him and touched his shoulder. "Tom, I've talked to the head teacher and to the new psychologist. They've agreed that you won't have to do any exams except writing and reading. And they will tell the other teachers never to put anything on your work in red. The new psychologist is called Mr. Toomey, and you have an appointment with him next week. I'll come with you for the first one, if you like." "F," said Tom. "No more F's, I promise you." "Okay." The next time Tom handed in a drawing, this one a portrait of Bernie with huge square raster hair. It came back with a big green tick and a green VG underneath. He showed it to Bernie. "It means very good," said Bernie. Tom took the drawing up to his room and looked at the VG, puzzled. He was glad it was green, but he wasn't sure that it was an improvement on F. It seemed to him that it was even further down the alphabet, with only W, X, Y, and Z to go. But he knew there were things he would never understand, so he gave a shrug, put the picture of Bernie high up on his wall where he could see it from his bed, and the daylight from the window made the black charcoal eyes shine.